I'm Tom Hall. This is Midday. Send her back has replaced lock her up as President Donald Trump champions fear and divisiveness at a campaign rally in North Carolina last night. Historian Dr. Carol Anderson joins me with analysis. And Milton Kent, host of Sports at Large, and Jeff Barker of the Baltimore Sun stop by with their take on the Orioles' rebuild and changes in the athletic program at College Park since the tragic death of football player Jordan McNair. Plus, theater critic J. Wynn Russick reviews this year's Contemporary American Theater Festival in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. That's all coming up on Midday, right after the news.
And obviously and importantly, Omar has a history of launching vicious anti-Semitic screeds.
At a campaign rally in Greenville, North Carolina last night, President Donald Trump called out by name the four freshman congresswomen that he had taunted on Twitter earlier this week with the racist trope, "Go back where you came from." Send her back is what the crowd was chanting in what is perhaps a grim harbinger of what we're in store for over the next 18 months. Seems to be an update of the 2016 chant, "Lock her up." Dr. Carol Alexander joins me here on Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for you joining us as well. Dr. Carol Anderson joins me from Atlanta. She is the author of a bunch of books, all of them really worth reading. One of them is called White Rage, The Unspoken Truth of Our Nation's Divide. Carol, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
What's your response to those in the Republican Party and those, commentators, et cetera, who say the president's remarks were not racist?
We're not?
Yeah, we're not. I mean, they're basically alleging that there's a different interpretation of facts here, that what the president said cannot be validly described as racist. How do you respond to somebody who asserts that?
And that is part and parcel of the work that was done by conservatives and the Republican Party after the Civil Rights Movement to limit and define racism as just saying the N-word and racist as just being those who either wear a swastika or who are sheeted up like the Klan. If it's not the Klan, if it's not Nazis, if it's not the N-word, then clearly this can't be racist. Except it is. I mean, and that's what we have to understand. He didn't single out, for instance, those members of Congress who are actually from another country and have become naturalized citizens and who are white. He specifically singled out women because one of the key elements in white supremacy is patriarchy, and he singled out women of color. That was a deliberate strike, a deliberate hit. And what we're hearing is, well, it's really about nationality. That is just a fig leaf to actually cover that this is really about white supremacy and this is about racism. And this is about the man in the White House triggering the fault lines in American society in order to stay in power, to avoid the consequences of all of his illegal actions, and to provide this kind of narrative of what he's really saying is that what we want is a white republic, a nation where only whites have power. That is the fear that he's triggering in the United States. So targeting Barack Obama with birtherism, and we heard, oh, that's not really racism. Yes, it is. Targeting Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Representative Ilhan Omar, that is racism. And until we confront that, we're going to continue to have these little dances about, was that racist? Wasn't it racist? Was that racist? Wasn't it racist? And ignoring that the policies that emanate out of that frame are absolutely destructive to the United States.
It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. My guest, Dr. Carol Anderson. She's the chair of the African American Studies at Emory University in Atlanta. We're talking about the rally in North Carolina last night in which President Trump called out by name the four freshman congresswomen that he had essentially targeted on Twitter the previous Sunday. And Carol, when this happened, when the president tweeted on Sunday, this was to a certain extent Trump jumping into the fray of a dispute or a disagreement between these four new congresswomen and Nancy Pelosi, the Democratic Speaker of the House. How do you make a distinction between, for example, what Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez said when she pointed out Speaker Pelosi's persistent singling out of these newly elected women of color? She didn't use the word racist, neither did Mr. Trump, actually. But, I mean, there was an implication that that Speaker Pelosi was targeting them because of their race as well.
And that implication is, you've got to wrestle with it, too. And part of the reason why they were singled out is because they had been very vocal. I mean, I want to leap back just a hair. They were very vocal about a bill that went through that provided funding, additional funding for basically the concentration camps that are on the border, without any kinds of protections for the human rights of the people who have been locked up. And that vocal that vocal sense of this is wrong, that speaking to the morality, speaking to the kind of central core of what we say is America, is really disturbing for those who are fully invested in power. And so you saw a wrangling happening there. And let me be really clear, too, that there have always been fractures within the Democratic Party. They have fought tooth and nail. And part of that fight had been in its previous iteration between the liberal wing and the Southern Democratic wing. And what you see happening now is an insistence that we are not going to go back to that. We have got to be unified. That's what this discussion is about. We have got to be unified and have a moral clarity about what is at stake here. And so then the subsequent resolution that Pelosi put up was a sense of, yes, we have to have some moral clarity here. We've got to do better. But you didn't see that same kind of reaction coming from the Republicans. And instead, you saw Trump double down at the rally yesterday in North Carolina.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, it appears that it will, in fact, be a harbinger of what we're in for over the next 18 months. This is a strategy. This is deliberate. This is not one of these off-the-cuff remarks that he, you know, wishes he didn't say. This is something that's quite purposeful. The fact that when Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez made those remarks about Speaker Pelosi, a number of Democrats jumped on her and said, hey, wait a minute, you know, suggestion that Speaker Pelosi is prejudiced or biased in any way is unfair. And there was, as you mentioned, deafening silence from most of the Republican Party when Mr. Trump made his remarks. In fact, his poll numbers, Reuters and others reporting in the day after, a couple of days after the tweets on Sunday, Mr. Trump's poll numbers spiked a little bit. Is there, when we come to this, defining this, you know, this notion of racism, and that word is used so often now, I suppose it runs the risk of being sort of attenuated. I mean, one's understanding of it, one's, you know, visceral grasp of it can be diminished with all these repetitions. But What about those people who choose to associate themselves with Mr. Trump? Not just the Trump voters, but the Republicans in the Senate, the Republicans in the Congress. I mean, is it fair to apply the label racist to those people if they are willingly accepting what the president said as not being racist, and if they're okay with it?
So if they're okay with, I mean, and this is the part that we have to be clear about. And so I'm going to do the historian thing first.
Yep, fair enough.
And that is the Southern strategy. That Southern strategy happened when the Republican Party realized that there was a massive fissure, and this is in the 60s, a massive fissure in the Democratic Party, where Southern Democrats, who had been just absolutely opposed to civil rights, absolutely opposed to recognizing the citizenship rights of African Americans, when they were outmaneuvered and outvoted. And the Southern Democrats were just a C. And the Republicans looked and said, there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity for us to pick up more voters. There's an opportunity for us to pick up more representatives in Congress. There's even maybe an opportunity for us to get to the White House by pulling in these Southern Democrats. And the way we're going to do it, we're going to be very subtle about our opposition to civil rights, but not so subtle. So it's Lee Atwater who says, in 1954, you could say the N-word, and it wouldn't hurt you. But by 1968, it hurts you, backfires. So you start saying, you start being more obscure with it. You start talking about taxes and busing. But the whole point is that blacks get hurt worse than whites. And so this is where we start getting the language of law and order. This is where we start getting the language of welfare queens. They welcomed that toxin of white supremacy from the Southern Democrats into the Republican Party. They thought that they could control it. They couldn't. That thing took over. We've seen it evolve from the 1960s to where we are today. So Trump is not an aberration. Trump has been part and parcel of the way that the Republican Party has evolved. And we've got to recognize that. And so we're not racist. We just happen to support a guy who says that Barack Obama is a Kenyan. We happen to support a guy who says that Mexicans are rapist. We happen to support a guy who says that Africans come from S-hole countries. We happen to support a guy who bans Muslims. We happen to support a guy who calls immigrants basically animals and criminals and gangs and thugs. You know, at a certain point, there needs to be a kind of question that we're supporting this.
Yeah.
And the fact that there's not that self-reflection, but instead deflection, gives us some sense of the power that racism works, how it works in the party and how it works in America. Trump has doubled down on it because it has been an effective strategy, the strategy of resentment, the strategy of polarization. It is easier to divide than it is to build. And so he's taken, once again, the easy route.
And perhaps the argument of those people who are continuing to support the president, despite these, the racial animus that he's been quite clear about for quite a long time, is that, they're with him on the other things. They're with him on taxes. They're with him on deregulation. They're with him on court appointments. And like any political judgment, you've got to sort of take the bitter with the sweet, and you've got to simply, make your judgments based on, the overall picture. And so they compartmentalize racism and the racial attitude of this president sort of off to the side, and they say, well, the rest of the policies are things that we're on board with.
And I'd like to then let's dig down deeper into the rest of what those policies mean, because it's not as cut and dried as that. So those policies on, well, we're going to get our judges. Well, those are the judges that are going to you know, help overturn the rest of the Voting Rights Act, who are going to overturn those kinds of civil rights, the pieces of civil rights legislation that have helped open up America so that the United States can live up to its aspirations of what it says it is. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Those judges, in fact, have in that deeply right-wing conservative base are anti. When you think about the kinds of deregulation policies, so when we look at the kinds of environmental damage that happens from deregulation, or when you look at the lack of protection for workers from deregulation, we're again talking about a race-based and a class-based attack on American citizens.
Yeah, Carol, unfortunately, that's all the time we have. We need to call it a day for this part of the conversation today, but I look forward to talking to you again. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Tom. Thank you.
Dr. Carol Anderson, she's the chair of African American Studies at Emory University in Atlanta. Her most recent book is called One Person, No Vote, How Voter Suppression is Destroying Our Democracy. Book before that is another gem. It's called White Rage, The Unspoken Truth of Our Racial Divide. Coming up, we're going to change gears. Milton Kent and Jeff Barker join me for a look at what's new in sports. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Midday. Stay with us.
You're tuned to Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.